The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Great, thank you. So, during this hour, we practice loving kindness, and there will be I'll start just framing what we're going to do a little bit, and then will be time for a guided meditation and a little bit of reflection time in small groups, and then question and answer at the end. So that's basically what we'll be doing. So for how many people the practice of loving kindness is relatively new practice? Relatively. You can. Great. Excellent. Great. So what is this practice of loving kindness? It's basically about cultivating kindness, cultivating friendliness, cultivating goodwill. It's very simple, and it's not creating it. It's cultivation. It's a cultivation practice, meaning that we all have kindness, goodwill, friendliness, love, whatever word you want to put on it. We all have it as a part of our human capacity. But it may not always be the first thing, first response that our heart and mind go to. So by cultivating it more and more, we make it a little more likely that that would be the response that will happen, either towards ourselves, towards others, people we care about, people who are neutral to us, people we have difficulty with. It's like a soothing salve for the heart, for our own heart, first of all, and also for all kinds of relationships. It's not a practice of fabrication. We don't try to create something that's not there. We don't try to force it or push it. We try to tune into that radio station of kindness and then, listen to it more and more to tune our minds to that direction in that way. And during this practice, you may feel something arise. You may not feel anything. Don't necessarily think that, universal love or compassion that arises and completely engulfs your body and mind. That may not be your experience, and it's perfectly fine. You may not feel anything right now, but trust that seeds are being planted. Seeds are being planted. And later, when you have no expectation, they will germinate, and you'll see something in your behavior. I've told this story many times before, and I love this story. It's by someone who brought this practice of loving kindness to the West, Sharon Salzberg, who writes in her book that the first time she did an intensive period of loving kindness, a week of silent meditation practice, she felt like nothing was happening. By the end of it, she thought it was excruciatingly painful and really totally dumb and stupid. And she had wasted a whole week doing this thing. And then she drops a vase and which shatters. And the thought that comes up in her mind is, Sharon, you're such a klutz and I love you anyway. So I was like, okay, something was happening that whole week. Something was happening. Also, this is a purification practice. And the purification practice, what that means is that you might notice that the opposite comes up. You're trying to cultivate, say, kindness, friendliness, love for yourself. And you start to feel angry towards yourself. Or you start to feel that, I don't deserve this. This is selfish. The opposite comes up. Doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. It does not mean that. Those feelings, emotions, those attitudes are already there anyway. So this practice brings them up so they get purified, they get seen, they get to be worked through and released. So if that happens, that's fine. Hang in there. Just hold whatever comes up with kindness, whatever comes up, whether it's judgment, anger, non-deserving, hold that with kindness. Holding this too with kindness. So practice of developing kindness, loving kindness for ourselves, is perhaps the most worthwhile, the most important practice, because when we develop kindness, gentleness, love for ourselves, that's when our own heart is full, that's when it starts to pour out. When our cup is full, then other people's cup get filled from that. It really serves as the basis of love for other people. But it also turns out to be one of the hardest practices to develop kindness and love for ourselves. There's some cushions on the back if you want to get some and sit more comfortably in a moment, because it's important for this practice to be comfortable. So go get yourself something. Yeah. So actually, I think I'm going to get us started now for the practice of loving kindness for ourselves. But before we get started, I'm going to ask you to make yourself comfortable. If you're sitting on a chair, you want to sit on the floor. If you're sitting on the floor, you want to sit on the chair. Please do that now for this practice. More than anything else, it's important to be comfortable. Don't be shy. Go for it. Yeah. And also get some cushions from outside if you're going to sit on. Those chairs can be pretty hard. There are cushions outside. You can get some. Because for this practice, I would say even more than mindfulness practice, you have to be comfortable. I mean, you can't wish yourself well or wish other people well if you're in pain. If you're not comfortable, it just doesn't work. So make sure you're comfortable. Whether you're sitting, if you're sitting in a chair, allow your feet to be flat on the floor. Allow your back to be straight. Also, if you're sitting on the floor, allow your back to be straight. Turn your pelvis a little bit back and forth to find the right curvature in your back. And imagine that there is a string, there is an invisible string that's pulling you up in your head, and just extending your torso up towards the heavens, and your body can be upright without you trying very hard. Your body can sit upright with ease. Maybe roll your shoulders back a little bit, once or twice, and then release them, land them. And now soften your body. Completely release and soften. Relax your body. Relax your face. Relax your forehead. We often hold a lot of tension in our forehead. Relax your jaw, your shoulders. Your hands, your arms. Relaxing your belly. You don't have to hold it in or hold it tight at all. Just let it out. Let it out. Softening, relaxing your bottom. Breathing into that area. Your legs. Your feet. And now, taking a few deep diaphragmatic breaths into the belly, letting the breath be pulled in, holding for a second or two and releasing with a sound, just to settle in some more. Let's do it together. Breathe in. Hold for a few seconds. Then let go. It's socially acceptable to make a sound. It's all right. With each out-breath, relaxing into the body more, letting go. One more. Let's do one more together. Softening, relaxing into this body. And now allow the breath to be natural. Whatever it is, it's okay. Whether it's deep or it's shallow. Long or short, let it be. No need to control your breath. Soft breath. Gentle breath. Whatever it is, let it be. Just noticing. Letting the attention gently rest in your body, in your belly. Noticing the expansion and the contraction of the breath within the belly. Letting go of thoughts, of plans, of everything that happened before you came here. It's all in the past now. Let go. Just sitting for a moment and breathing, embracing your humanity. Just simply sitting and breathing, that's all. Nothing complicated, just sitting and breathing. And if your mind starts to move on to a thought or a plan or a memory, instead of resting on the breath, it's okay. It's not a problem. It's part of this practice. Simply notice what the mind is resting on now. Just simply know it. And after you recognize it, just very gently invite the attention back to rest in the belly and the breath. Without much strife, without any judgment. Just that's what minds do. They wander off. It's okay. Have gentleness and kindness every time you bring the mind back. Sitting and breathing. Sitting and breathing. We allow the mind to settle for a couple of minutes in silence before switching to the loving kindness practice itself. Letting the mind to calm down, settle with the breath, as if breath was a lullaby. See if you can enjoy the breathing process, one breath at a time. Now I invite you to bring to mind an image of yourself when you were young. Maybe when you were a baby. Let's start there. Maybe there's a photograph of you when you were really young. Bring that young child to mind. What did he or she look like? Just get a felt sense of yourself as a little boy or a little girl. As if that little child was right here with you, crawling, prancing about, climbing on your lap. And if it feels okay, if it feels available to you, maybe hold that little kid, little child, and wish her or him well. First, just without words, just see what comes up in your heart. Just sharing friendliness, goodwill, kindness, care. If it feels more appropriate to let the kid kind of walk around or crawl while you just watch it and hold it with kindness, let that happen too. Whatever feels more appropriate, or maybe it feels more appropriate to hug the child, hold it, comfort it, caress it, whatever feels right. And I'll offer the phrases, the loving kindness, the metta phrases that you can offer yourself as a young child. Because that young child is you after all, just as a different time. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. You can recite that silently in your mind. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you be happy and joyful. Maybe this child is already happy, or maybe it needs some support, maybe it's going through a difficult time. Whatever it brings up in you, may you be healthy and strong, little one. May you have ease. May your life flow with ease, little one. May you be safe. May you be safe from inner and outer harm, little one. May you be happy and have joy in your heart, little one. May you be healthy and strong, little one. And may your life flow with ease, little one. I'll repeat my phrases one more time, and you're welcome to change them too. Here's the shorter version. May you be safe. And also add dear one, if that feels good, or little one. May you be safe, dear one. May you be happy, dear one. May you be healthy, dear one. May you have ease, dear one. Now we'll move in time, sometime a little older, when you're a little older. Maybe there was a time when you were a kid, when you were really happy and you have an image of yourself as a happy child. Or maybe a time in your life comes up for you that you really needed safety and care and love. And it was a difficult time. Whatever arises, it's okay. Bring that image of you at that age to mind. And wish yourself well. Having an image, having a felt sense. May you be safe, dear one. May you be safe, little one. May you be safe, young one. May you be happy, young one. May you be healthy. May you have ease. See if it feels appropriate to have this younger version of yourself sitting in front of you or next to you, or maybe on your lap, whatever feels right to you. You can be creative as you want. Maybe you're both going for a walk or just sitting together. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you have ease. Or if other phrases work for you, your own phrases, may you feel safe. May you be protected. May you feel loved. May you have love. May your heart beam with joy and light. May you never lose your spark. Whatever works for you. Sharing your love, your goodwill for a younger version of yourself. Whatever is appropriate. See if there is something that is appropriate to tell this young child. Something it needs to be told, whatever it is. whatever it is for you. Maybe it is, I love you, sweetie, and I'm here for you. I'll take care of you. I'm right here for you. It's okay. It's okay. I love you. It's okay. Moving to a different age, maybe when you were a teenager or a young adult. Have an image of yourself, a felt sense of yourself. And whether there was a time that you were really happy, full of life, healthy, bring that to mind. Or maybe there was a time that your heart goes to, like, offering support and love to that younger version of yourself, offering care. It was a difficult time. Either you can choose one or the other, whatever speaks to you. You can have creativity. Were there that version of you sitting with you? Or you see yourself in the surroundings you were at the time and wishing yourself well. May you be safe from inner and outer harm. May you always be safe from inner and outer harm. May you always have joy in your heart and be happy. May you always be healthy and strong. And may you have ease in your life, dear one. May your life flow with ease always, in every way. Sharing goodwill, kindness, sense of care for yourself. And moving on to a time later in your life, maybe in your 20s, maybe you're full of life. Happy. Or there was a time that you needed support and more love, bring an image of yourself and hold yourself with care. May you be safe, dear one. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you have ease. May you be free from suffering. May your heart be eased from difficulty. May you have joy. May you know that you're cared for. May you love and accept yourself just as you are. May you open up to your own goodness. Or maybe the phrase is, I love you, I care about you, I'm here for you, I understand you, I care for you, I hold you with love and kindness. Whatever is appropriate for you to tell your younger self. Blessing of kindness, of care, of embracing yourself. If it is an image of the time when you're having difficulty, maybe the words, my dear, I know this was very difficult for you. This was very difficult for you. I care for you. I care for you. This was so hard. Holding yourself with love and care, with compassion. Not much to do, but just to hold. Simply hold. Hold witness. It's all the heart needs. Just to make space. Make space. Acknowledge, appreciate. And now I invite you to bring to mind an image of yourself older if you like. Or stay with any of the images that were most compelling. Any of the ages that were most compelling, you can stay with those. Or move on to another age, anything that's compelling to you. And holding yourself with kindness and goodwill. And if it feels appropriate, bringing an image of yourself to mind right now, at this age, whatever is happening for you right now in your life, and offering yourself goodwill and good wishes. May I be safe from inner and outer harm. May I be happy and know true joy and happiness. May I be healthy and strong in my body as much as possible. And may my life flow with ease. Or maybe, may I love and accept myself just as I am. May I be kind to myself. May I hold myself with gentleness and love. May I hold myself with care. May I care for myself as if I was a young newborn, a young child, needing protection, love and care and support and gentleness, a lot of gentleness. And tenderness. You can experiment with putting your hand in the center of your chest, your heart center, as you wish yourself well, reciting whatever sentences, phrases work for you. Just making a connection with yourself, the sense of goodness, your good wishes for yourself. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I have ease. Reciting the sentences in silence for another minute. May I love and accept myself just as I am. May I be kind to myself. In ways seen and unforeseen, known and unknown. So there's so many different ways to cultivate loving kindness for ourselves. And this is one way to see ourselves as a younger version of ourselves at different times. For some people this works, for some people it doesn't, and it's all okay. We're just experimenting with different practices. So what I'd like to invite you to do now for just a few minutes is to get into groups of roughly size three, and just check in, what was that like? And there's no right and wrong. Nothing happened, or you connected with an image of your younger self, or anything. It's just, it's so important in this practice, to practice in community and be held witness and to hold witness. It's such a huge gift. Otherwise, you could be at home and listen to an audio tape and that would be it. Why would you come here anyway? So I'm going to invite you. So if you came here with someone, I invite you not to get into a group with them, but get into a group with people you don't know. So go ahead and just make yourselves into groups of three. Okay, great. Thanks. So what was that like? What happened? It would be lovely to hear a few comments and questions that worked for you, didn't work for you. It's all okay. And there's some microphones here. Wait. Thank you.
We talked about the fact. We talked about the fact. Can everybody?
Is it on? But for the recording, because these. Try the other one.
Kind of like this.
Still dead?
I don't know.
Let's turn it up a bit.
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Oh, it's it's coming alive.
Okay. Yeah.
Keep going.
We talked. Okay.
All right.
Okay, everybody knows we talked about the fact that for a couple of us it was really hard to come up with a happy childhood.
Yeah.
And we were surprised that we've assumed that our childhoods were happy, but when you were guiding us, it was really happy to find that happy childhood. Mm. So that's one thing we talked about.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I think that's really important because it becomes a practice of compassion. That's why I was giving a couple of options, because if that image is a happy one, then, you know, like, oh, may your happiness continue and may you be well. But if it's a sad one, it's like, I love you, I'm here for you. There's a different kind of a connection. So the practice works either way, whether it was a happy childhood or not a happy childhood. In fact, if it wasn't a happy one, there's just a sense of reparenting, taking care of, really loving and caring. Is that something that was palpable, perhaps?
Yeah.
Oops, you gave it up too soon.
I didn't want to talk.
Thank you for speaking, though.
That we agreed that holding that child was really lovely.
Great.
And embracing that child.
Great.
Happy or sad, whatever that child was, we agreed that it was a really special feeling to be able to sit with that child.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. There you get it. Thank you so much for sharing that it was a worthwhile practice. It was lovely, as you said, your words, to hold that child, whether happy or sad. Yay, that's great. Yeah, wonderful. What else? What are other observations? It's really worthwhile to hear your observations about this practice and what worked and what didn't. Or any questions? Yeah.
I thought it was interesting in that in the beginning I had trouble with it because I kept wanting to view myself from the third person and try to remember myself in photographs and things. But when I started thinking more broadly about those age ranges and what was going on in my life and things, it was all from a first-person perspective.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, it almost felt like it wasn't working well.
Yeah.
But then as I was exploring those memories and those specific time ranges more, it became more of a purification practice, because you would find unhappy moments and happy moments, and you think, oh, yeah, that was a very interesting time when I was, you know, 8 or whatever. So, yeah, it was very interesting to sort of have a survey of your past history.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, thank you for that. And it's interesting. I hadn't thought about, you know, that the third perspective, it kind of works more easily when you kind of think of a photograph of yourself and an image of yourself and kind of comes to life, and you wish that little being or teenager who was having trouble or being bullied or whatever. Well, and then but when it swaps to the first person, it's interesting because in some ways it has to swap to the first person a little bit, right, for those feelings to come up. But then how much? So it's very creative, right? How much to stay in the first person, how much to stay in the third person, and similar to you, as I was doing the practice with you. It does feel like a purification practice. There were some times that, yay, it was like a mudita, vicarious joy practice. Yay, happy, happy. And there were times like, oh, poor dear, poor sweetie, this was hard. So it is interesting to practice in that way. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. What else? What are other observations?
So I found that obviously my mind would wander.
And surprise, surprise. Yeah. Anybody else's mind?
And I think for me, just then trying to, from a practical perspective, it felt like, oh, where are we? Like it was kind of disorientating.
Uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
I would then hear you kind of, yeah, provide the guidance, and I,
right,
well, am I a teenager or am I older? Where was I? So
yeah,
that was kind of interesting to observe.
Yeah.
Because I guess the way that I've done it in the past, looking at different types of people.
Right, right.
It's, I don't know why, for some reason, it just seemed odd that I would suddenly come back to myself and want to be where I feel I'm supposed to be.
Oh, interesting.
In the process.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing, correct me if I'm wrong, so there was a sense of the mind would get a little disoriented at times, mm-hmm, or confused, like, where am I? Are we a teenager?
Right.
Are we teenage years now? Are we 20s? Like, mm-hmm, kind of like, where? Yeah. Interesting. Why do you think that was in this case?
I guess because I felt like we were going through a process.
Yeah,
and I wanted to fit with the process and do the right thing.
Do the right thing, yeah.
Complete the activity, and then my mind's gone off somewhere else.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's why.
And I'm like, okay, I think I missed a cue somewhere.
Oh, got it. I see what you're saying, because there was the... Yeah. So that's another aspect of, I think, what you're pointing to about this practice, because sometimes, I mean, it can happen with any practice that the mind wanders, but with this especially, sometimes kind of when you go back to a particular part, stories can take over, and you can start thinking about the stories at that time in your life, and it can be so engaging that you miss the rest of the instructions, right? So, yeah, that's... kind of that's what can happen with this practice. Oh, well, it is what it is. But thank you so much for sharing that. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be. It's kind of, you know, wherever you end up is good. What else? We have a couple more minutes. And there's an event starting, after this. So that's what's happening on the outside hall.
I just noticed that when we got to a particularly difficult age in my life, all of a sudden I had this tremendous pain in my knee.
Oh, interesting.
And I didn't know, is that because I don't want to think about?
Yeah.
You know, but all of a sudden, which I normally don't get, it's like, whoa, what's going on?
That's interesting. That's a really interesting observation you just shared. And also, there is a theory in somatic experiencing that... that difficulty, trauma, I mean, trauma is such a generalized word nowadays, but difficulty is stored as a physical memory in the body. So I'll just share that for whatever it's worth. Yeah, that's interesting. Anything else? Any other thoughts? Any questions? Any reflections? Yeah. Yep. Did you have a movement? No. So if this practice worked for you, if there was one aspect of this practice that worked for you, there was a particular age or anything, you can do this practice. You don't have to go through all ages, or maybe you do if you want to. You can go through all ages, all decades, or every 5 years. You can do this very methodically if you want. Or just choose one age, one photograph, and really bring it up to life. And just really sit with that younger image of yourself, whether it's a happy one. Maybe do it once this week. Here's my recommendation. Do it once this week, a happy memory, a happy image of a child or teenager or whatever it is. And then maybe a difficult time in your life, and see how you connect the quality of being with and making space. And also how the quality of mind is with the happy image and the one that needs support, because both of them, so the first one becomes a practice of loving kindness and mudita, vicarious joy, when you're happy for your happiness and like, oh, may you be well, may you continue to be happy. And then the other one becomes the practice of compassion, because there's a time that you're having difficulty in your life. Both are part of the heart practices, and both of them feel or supposed to feel good unless one falls into empathetic distress. That is, if you only think about the suffering, I think you're thinking about the next event. So hold on a sec. The thank you. Thank you. So empathetic distress happens if you only hold the suffering, the difficulty, and not meet it with kindness and joy. If the mind falls into the pain, like, oh, that was so hard, that was so painful, oh, then it kind of, the mind is falling into a well. But if that difficulty is balanced and held with love, like, oh, sweetie, this was hard, I know, I'm here for you, I love you. If it's balanced with love and care, then it becomes practice of compassion. Does that make sense? Okay, so I think that's our cue to stop. No problem. So, well, I wish you a wonderful week and practice, and also notice how your mind feels tomorrow after having practiced this today. What comes up for you? It's usually afterwards that you can kind of feel, or later tonight, see what happens, what comes up in your mind and heart after practicing. All right. Thank you all.